Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Our Father and our God, we come into thy presence today. We come, O God, to worship thee, and we ask, O God, that you would be pleased to be one of our number. Aid us, help us, O God, we pray, and may we know the presence of the Lord being with us this morning. Hear and answer prayer in the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 18. The words will be on the screen, but if you prefer the hymn book, it's 182. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. Number 18, hymn number 18 will stand as we sing, please. Seek the Lord again, please, in prayer. Still our hearts before him just now. Our Father and our God, we come again into thy presence. We thank the Lord for this open access that we have to thee. We pray to God today for our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for the one who gave his life, the one who shed his blood. We thank the Lord today for the entrance and the access that we have to thee in prayer. We thank you, O God, today that we do not come because we are any better than anybody else. We do not, Lord, come through anything we have or anything we can do. Lord, we come today claiming all the merits of Christ. We thank the Lord today for the Son of God who loved me, and the one who on the cross of Calvary died to save us from our sin. We thank the Lord for each one in this meeting today who's saved. We pray to God for that time, that moment in our life's experience when by faith we trusted thee. We thank you, Lord, that today we are the children of God. We thank you, Lord, that we've been adopted into thy family. We pray to God that you've given to us a glorious inheritance. We thank you, Lord, today that we're safe, we're secure in Christ. We thank you, Lord, today that our names are written in glory, and that there is nothing, no power in earth, Lord, there is no power, Lord, in this world that can ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And our Father, we pray that as we come to thee, Lord, as we come to worship thee, as we come into thy presence this morning, we ask, O God, for those clean hands and that pure heart, Lord, as we would seek to ascend the hill of Zion. Lord, as we come, O God, we pray that you'll come and cleanse us, purify us, sanctify us. O God, we pray that you'll come and remove us, Lord, of those things, Lord, that would hinder the blessing of God flowing in our hearts. And O God, we pray that we might be those clean vessels, fit and ready for the Master's use. Our Father, we pray that we might, Lord, know what it is to do business with thee. May we know, O God, today what it is, Lord, to have that very real sense that God is here. O God, we thank thee for each one who's been enabled to gather in the house of the Lord this morning. We thank thee, Lord, for the health and the strength you have given to us. But, O God, we cry unto thee, Lord, that you will be pleased to be one of our number. Lord, draw near to us this morning. Lord, as we would seek to draw near to thee, come, O God, we pray, be one of our number. Lord, sanctify this place with thy presence, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might know that thou art here and that to bless us. We thank you, Lord, for the little ones of the Sunday school, the young people and the Bible class. Lord, speak on to their young hearts. Bless over in Redburn this afternoon, Lord, as the children would meet there. Bless us again tonight. Remember this evening in the gospel, we pray, Lord, be pleased to bring out a goodly number this evening, we pray. Bless the young people as they would take part. And Lord, that everything will be to the glory and to the honour of thy name. Bless Billy as he would come and minister to us in song this morning, beyond him all that he would need, and give him great help, O God, we ask. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember those who cannot gather with us this morning. Remember, Lord, those who are in hospital today. Remember our sister Violet. Just draw very near to her. Strengthen her, O God, in her mortal frame at this time. And Lord, may she know the touch of the Lord being upon her, we pray. And Lord, may she even know, Lord, that others, we here as a congregation, are praying for her. Our Father, we pray that you'll continue to remember, Lord, those who, Lord, have passed through the valley of sorrow and grief in days gone by, and Lord, even in days much further away, yet the emptiness, the pain is still there. O God, we pray for your grace. We pray, Lord, for that balm of Gilead, Lord, to be applied. Lord, we pray for that oil of joy for mourning. Even, Lord, for those who are grieving and still mourning the loss of precious loved ones. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember those who are wandered from God, those who are no longer, Lord, active in their worship for thee as once they were. Lord, draw them, O God, we pray. Bring them, Lord, back into that right relationship with thee, O God, we pray. O God, we pray that you'll bring the prodigals back to the Father's house. And O God, we pray that we might see a great work done in their hearts, we ask. Remember this area. Remember this community. O God, we cry unto thee for that move of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, there is so much apathy and indifference. Men and women, Lord, going about their business with no thought or concern, Lord, as to where they'll be in eternity. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be pleased, Lord, to create that concern and bring many to faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for our land. We pray for our nation. Lord, in a time of darkness, Lord, that's across us, O God, we pray that you will be pleased to send the light of the gospel, Lord, not only into our own land, but across, Lord, every nation of the world. We thank you, Lord, for those that are serving thee in far-off lands. Encourage them, strengthen them. Be with them, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray today for the persecuted church, Lord, those who do not have the privileges as we have to meet publicly. Encourage their hearts and strengthen them in their faith, we pray. Protect them, and Lord, keep them safe from evil and wicked rulers, we ask. Oh, Father, we pray, do us good, we pray. Come on, Lord, give us a blessed day. Give us a good day in the house of the Lord. Lord, there's so much to discourage us. Lord, so much, Lord, to cause our hearts to be despondent. But, oh God, we ask, oh Lord, that today we might have that experience of David when he encouraged himself in the Lord. Be the strength, Lord, be the joy of our hearts today. Hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. 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 This stage, I'm going to ask Billy to come and sing for us, please. Thank you, Billy, and the Lord bless you. Thank you. Billy, thank you very much for coming and singing for us. And those pieces that have exalted the name of our God. And thank you, Billy, for lifting our eyes to behold the greatness of our God. So well done, and the Lord richly bless you. I'm going to ask you to turn this morning in the Word of God, please, to the Old Testament again, the book of Genesis, and the chapter 39. Just a very short Bible reading this morning as we continue our series in the life of Joseph. Just the first six verses of this chapter, Genesis chapter 39. We will read from verse number 1. Genesis chapter 39. Let's read the first verse, down to verse number 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. He served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favoured. Amen. May the Lord bless this short reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let me bid you welcome this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you. We welcome you warmly in the Saviour's great name. Lovely sunny morning outside. It's good to see that the rain has stopped for at least a little while. But we're glad to see the sun shining. We're glad to see you as well in the house of the Lord this morning. We have some visitors with us this morning, with Joan from Glasgow. Glad to have you again, Joan. And Cameron. Is that right? Cameron from Scotland as well. So we have a Scottish contingent in today. A bonnie lad and a bonnie lass with us today. So we're glad to have you both. Pray the Lord will bless you here with us. Can I remind you, please, just of the announcements also. We welcome those who are watching our broadcasts online as well. 2:30, our Sunday school over in Redburn, and then we have our season of prayer this evening at 6 o'clock, and then our gospel meeting tonight at 6:30. Now, we would love to see you back again tonight. Just don't come once on a Sunday. We're missing a lot of people on a Sunday night. So we want to see you back again on a Sunday evening, please, for the meeting tonight. And the Youth Fellowship will be taking part. Some will be taking part in the meeting this evening. And so we want you to come along and encourage them as they take part this evening. Also, our brother Jonathan Logan will be along to sing. But please do remember that. Plan to be with us. Love to see you tonight for the meeting at 6:30. Then on Tuesday night, Bible study and prayer meeting back at the normal time of 8 p.m. Then on Friday night, that sees the commencement of the Easter Convention weekend over in the Martyrs, with the Youth Rally Prayer Service at 8 o'clock on Friday night. And the Reverend Timothy Nelson, the principal of the Whitfield College of the Bible, will be the preacher. Then the convention continues on Saturday, this Saturday, Easter Saturday, at 7:30. And Dr. John McKnight from America will be the preacher on Saturday night. And there'll be various missionary reports as well. So please do remember that. There'll be supper after both of those meetings as well. And then next Sunday, Easter Sunday, We have our own services here in the church, commencing with the Sunday School and Bible class at 10:15. Next Sunday, we are having a missionary focus as well. Now, we were hoping that we would have some pastors from Kenya. It was their plan that a number of the Kenyan pastors from Glory Bible Church would be over the Easter weekend, but unfortunately that didn't work out, so we're not having them. But hopefully another time they will be able to come and join with us. But we're going to continue the missionary focus. Next Sunday morning, the Reverend Patrick Baker, who is missionary in Newton Ards, he's the minister in Newton Ards, he will be along to preach for us. But he is the chairman of the Mainland Commission of Presbytery, and he will be giving us a report on the various works in the churches over on the mainland. And while we often think about missionary work being far away, yet missionary work is even on our doorstep and not that far away. And so the Reverend Baker will be here next Sunday morning to bring God's word and also to report on the works on the mainland. And do remember that, please plan to be with us. Not a deputation meeting, just an information meeting, and the Reverend Baker will be preaching. Then on next Sunday evening at 6:30, we have the Reverend Ray Kerskadden. As you will know, the Kerskaddens went out to Uganda last year. They're home for a little time over the Easter break, and he has very kindly agreed to come and update us about the work there in Uganda, and also to bring God's word. And our brother Peter Mander will be here to sing. So remember those special meetings next Sunday, Easter Sunday, and plan to be with us, please. We also have our Sunday school in Redburn again at 2:30. The Easter Convention meetings then continue and conclude on Easter Monday at 7 p.m. And again, Dr. McKnight will be the preacher. Do remember to continue to pray for all who are shut in, those who are unwell at this time in the congregation. Also ask you to remember our sister Violet Rogers, who is in hospital at the moment. Do remember Violet, please, in your prayers. I want to congratulate one of our young people who's over in Scotland as well. Our sister Annie McVeigh, turned 21 this week. We pass on our best wishes and congratulations to Anna, turning 21. I have a letter here from the Reverend Derek Maxwell, and he writes to say, please, dear Garth, please express my grateful thanks to the friends at Sandown Free Presbyterian Church for their very kind and extremely generous donation of £835 from the past Sunday morning service. Through the faithful and often sacrificial giving of his people, the Church in Eastern Europe, Central Asia, Far East Russia and Mongolia is receiving vital support. We thank God for faithful pastors. It was a great joy and blessing for Yuri and myself to visit your church and share about God's work in the regions where SGA serves. Thank you for the very warm and sincere welcome. This means a lot to us as we visit many churches. The opportunity to share about our ministry was deeply appreciated. It was also a joy to share how God is fulfilling his promise, I will build my church. And today we are seeing spiritual fruit all over former communist countries. May the Lord richly bless you and your witness, your ministry in East Belfast. We send our best wishes on your 60th anniversary year. We trust this will be a year not only of marking a special milestone, but of God pouring out his Holy Spirit in revival blessing. Yours in the Saviour's name, Derek Maxwell. And thank you again for that offering, which came to a total of £835. And also the Missionary Council offering also came to a total of £319. And again, we want to thank you for your sacrificial, generous giving to the missionary causes. Just in relation to the Reverend Maxwell, he had a number of books with him that day a few weeks ago, and if you haven't paid for that, we would ask you please to attend to that matter. We're not looking the money for us, we want the money to be passed on to him, because all the money raised from the sale of those books, Hope in the Midst of War, and the little account of the war in Ukraine, All the money goes to help them work there. So if you haven't attended to that, then please do that as soon as possible. Now there's a new man, a new book man, and that is Paul. Paul will be distributing and looking after all the affairs to do with the books and CDs, etc., that come in. So if you can see Paul, please, and get your money to him, then we can pass that on to the Slavic Gospel Association. The LTBS magazines are available today. You'll receive one as you leave, and they are all free of charge. Do remember the offering boxes as you leave for your tithes and for your offerings. As always, we make these subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn, please, at this stage. Hymn number 361. We'll stand as we sing again, please, to change our position like a river glorious. Is God's perfect peace over all victorious in its bright increase? We'll stand as we sing once we get the introduction, please. Ask you please to turn again to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. As you pray for many others, and there are many who are unwell in our congregation just at the moment, if I could also ask you to remember Rachel's mum in your prayers, please. She remains in hospital, has been there for the past 2 weeks now, and do we would appreciate your prayers for Mrs. Crean just at this time, please. Let's turn to this short passage of scripture that we read. We want to look this morning at the subject of the secret of success as we find it here in the life of Joseph. But before we come to the word of God, can we ask you please just to still our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, today that we're not left without a guide. We're not left without a comfort. We thank thee, Lord, for the instruction of thy word. O God, we pray that thy word will be that light, will be that lamp to our hearts, to our lives at this time. O God, come and teach us, come and instruct us. O God, we pray. And may we know what it is, Lord, to, Lord, hear the word of the Lord. And Lord, on hearing that word, help us to do that word as well. Bless us as we continue our studies in the life of this man, Joseph. We thank you, Lord, for his example. And, O God, we pray that you'll help us, O God, to be more like him. And be more like him, may we be more like Christ. Hear and answer prayer. Be with us just now. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I wonder, do you want God's very best for your life? You're saved this morning. You sit in this meeting, this Lord's Day morning. Can you honestly and clearly say before God that you want the very best that God has for you? The answer, I trust, to that question is yes. Of course you do. Every child of God should want God's very best for our lives. But it doesn't, sadly, always follow through that is seen and that is displayed in our lives. You see, we all want the product that is God's very best. But we're not always willing to commit to the process. Not always willing to commit our lives entirely and wholeheartedly to the Lord in all of his ways for our lives. We want God's best, yes, but we're not willing to sacrifice and to give our lives over entirely to the Lord. I think you'll agree with me this morning that one of the great plagues in the professing church is that of those who pay simply lip service to the cause of Christ. Happy to identify with the cause of Christ, happy to identify themselves as a Christian, but not willing to entirely give their lives over to the Lordship of Christ. We can sing, King of our lives, I crown thee now, but how many of us actually mean it? It's easy to talk the talk. But it's an entirely different thing, as we've often pointed out, to walk the walk. Daily, constantly, and committedly to the Lord. We want God's very best. But you see, folks, if we are going to enjoy God's very best in our lives, then we have to live that daily, committed life to him. The secret of success in our Christian life. What was really summed up by the great Apostle Paul when he exhorted the child of God and the Church of Jesus Christ to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And as we continue in our studies in the life of Joseph, we see a man who did just that. He was not some sort of fair-weather Christian. He was not some sort of yo-yo Christian, up and down depending on the circumstances. Joseph was steadfast. He was unmovable in his Christian life. And that was seen in his character. And as we look at the life of Joseph and continue our studies in the life of Joseph this morning, there's one phrase that we find four times, in fact, in this one chapter, that really summarizes the secret of success in his life. Look at verse 2. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. Why? Because, as we have already seen in our few studies so far, Joseph was a man who was committed to God. The Lord was with Joseph. What a testimony. What a summary. The Lord was with him. And as we consider the subject this morning, as we consider the secret of success in his life to date, and as we'll see in our further studies, that the life of Joseph throughout his life, the secret was the Lord was with him. Could that be said of us today? Could it be said of us that the Lord is with us? Now, of course, we know that the Lord is with his people in that covenant promise when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In that sense, he's always with us. But this is a much deeper sense. This is a much deeper significance. This is a man whose life was saturated with the Lord. This was a man whose life was entirely given over to the Lord. This was a man who lived his life for the Lord. And as a result, the Holy Spirit records in the Holy Scriptures that the Lord was with him. Notice some things then about the secret of success in Joseph's life. Notice first of all the presence he enjoyed. The presence he enjoyed. Joseph, as a young man, had gone through some very major changes in his life in just a very short space of time. We've already seen how that he went from the security of his father's house to the darkness of a pit in the ground, from being sold as a slave and that long bumpy journey to Egypt, and now he has arrived in Egypt. And yet through all of that stage, and those stages of his life thus far, there is this testimony, the Lord was with him. And the sense of the meaning of the word is that the Lord was always with him. It's not just that Joseph has arrived in Egypt and now the Lord is with him. It's that the Lord has been with him all along. As we think about the presence that he enjoyed, think about the circumstances. As we read there in the opening verses of chapter 39, he arrives in Egypt and he's put away straight immediately onto the slave market, sold by the Ishmaelites. And he is bought by this man called Potiphar. Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh, who was the supreme ruler and governor of Egypt. It was Potiphar's job and his oversight of the protection of Pharaoh and all that belonged to Pharaoh. Potiphar was essentially Pharaoh's chief of staff. He had been heavily involved in every aspect of the running of the government of Egypt. And into this household, Joseph is brought as a slave. Joseph's circumstances again have changed very dramatically. In fact, what a roller coaster of emotions he must have been on. What must have been going through his mind. And all of those journeys as he went from the pit, captured by the slave traders, and now in the house of this man, Potiphar. And yet, through it all, he has this testimony. The Lord was with him. Through the hardships of his life, through the changes of his life, right now into an entirely new situation, a place he'd never been in before. A situation he had never been in before. And yet the Lord's with them. You see, Joseph didn't allow his circumstances to dictate his living for God. He didn't allow the negative situations in his life to distract him in his living for the Lord. Now think about it. The easiest place for Joseph to be a Christian was in his father's house. With the security and all that came with that. But now, he's in a foreign land. He's in a situation he knows nothing about. It would have been so easily for Joseph to let his guard down and let his life slip away from the Lord, yet this testimony is still true of Joseph. The Lord was with him. Why? Because Joseph knew that no matter what situation he found himself in, no matter what circumstance he found himself in, he had to live his life for the Lord. All too often it can be the case that people fall back from service and dedication because of the circumstances. And how many people? And you have heard it, as I'm sure. I certainly have heard it. People will blame the adverse circumstances for their backsliding. This happened, that happened, and that caused me to wander from the Lord. And yet Joseph here was a man in a most hostile environment, a very negative situation, humanly speaking, and yet he's still living his life for the Lord. He's not allowing the setting to dictate his service. Here he is, no longer the cherished son, but now he's a common slave, yet he didn't allow the change in circumstance to cause him to wander from the Lord. He still enjoyed the presence of the Lord because he still lived his life for the Lord. As we think about the presence, we see the circumstances, but also we see the character. He was a young man with a true, genuine Christian character. You see, Joseph wasn't a Christian in name only. Joseph had a real, living, genuine, experiential faith that was lived out in his life. His life oozed with Christian character. Joseph lived a life that was marked by separation, lived a life that was marked by consecration, lived a life that was marked by dedication. He loved the Lord and he lived for the Lord. And folks, that always goes together. If we love the Lord, then we will live for the Lord. He was spoken ill of by his brothers. We've already seen that. He was betrayed by his brothers. He's now a stranger in a strange land with no money, no friends, no nothing. Yet he had the Lord. What a godly, godly character. Even though his earthly father had stayed behind in Canaan, his heavenly father came with him into Egypt. Joseph would have been able to have agreed with the psalmist when the psalmist wrote in Psalm 9, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Let me emphasize those last three words of Psalm 9, verse 10, "that seek thee." Don't expect the blessing of God in your life, Christian, if you're wandering from God, if you're cold of heart. Don't expect the blessing of God if you're living your life in disobedience to God. Don't expect to have that personal, close, unique relationship with Him if you've wandered away from God. If you're seeking Him, then he will be with you in that very special, close way. We've seen something of the circumstances and something of his character here in this presence that he enjoyed. But something I want us to notice before we move on here, and that's the contrast. The contrast. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, maybe you didn't, but we didn't read chapter 38. The last time we were in our studies, we ended at the end of chapter 37. And we didn't read chapter 38. There's a very simple reason for that, because this is a study in the life of Joseph, and Joseph isn't mentioned in chapter 38. You might think, well, that's very strange. The rest of the book of Genesis given over to the life of Joseph, to the journeys of Joseph, and yet he's not mentioned in one whole chapter. Well, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. That's the Holy Spirit teaching. Because one of the ways the Lord teaches us, one of the ways that we can seek to interpret the Scriptures, is by what is called comparing and contrasting, particularly two chapters that are beside each other. This is a classic example in Genesis 38 and 39. What happened in Genesis 38 is a litany of sin. It doesn't talk about Joseph, but it talks about one of his brothers, Judah. Judah lived a very wicked and sinful life. Judah did things that it would not be right or appropriate to mention in a public service such as this. Judah was a very sinful man. Did some awful things in his life. His life was marked by sin. It was marked by adultery. He appealed to the lusts of the flesh. And then you compare that with chapter 39 and the life of Joseph. And the Holy Spirit there is showing us the comparison in chapter 38, the life of Judah, and contrast that with the purity of the life of Joseph in chapter 39. What a contrast. You see, one brother had a life lived for sin. One brother had a life lived for this world, whereas this brother, Joseph, had his life lived for the Lord. Let me ask you, what is it that marks your life today? Now, you may not ever go into the depths of sin that are recorded for us there in Genesis 38 and what Judah did. You might never do any of those things. But are you living your life for the Lord as Joseph did? Is your life marked by purity, holiness, separation, consecration, dedication unto the Lord? Joseph certainly was, compared to the life of his brother Judah. So there is this presence that he enjoyed. The Lord was with him. But notice, secondly, not only the presence that he enjoyed, I want us to see then, secondly, the proof. The proof he exhibited. It's the easiest thing in the world to say I'm a Christian. It's a much harder thing to go and live that Christian life out. Particularly in an unchristian, a godly, a pagan place such as Egypt where Joseph was. Joseph did more than just talk the talk. In fact, he didn't actually do an awful lot of that. He walked the walk. His life radiated the Savior. His life was proof. His life was evidence that the Lord was with him. You look at verse 3. And his master, that is Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. The presence of the Lord with Joseph was perceived in those with whom Joseph served alongside. Joseph didn't have to tell Potiphar. Potiphar saw it for himself in how this man conducted his life. Remember how that Joseph was wronged by his brothers. They spoke against him. They plotted against him. Remember, he is here now in Egypt, in Potiphar's house, because of the actions of his brothers. And yet he didn't allow all of that to dim his service or dim his Christian character. It is clearly evidenced that through the life that Joseph lived, others saw Christ in Joseph. His master Saul didn't say that they had a debate. They didn't say that Joseph witnessed to Potiphar. I'm not saying he didn't. He could well have done. But the point I believe the Holy Spirit is seeking to bring out here is that our lips can say so much, but our lives can say an awful lot more. And the life of Joseph spoke 1,000 times more to this ungodly man Potiphar than his lips ever could have said. He saw it especially in the manner in which he conducted himself. He was a man who worked hard. He was a man who did whatever he was called to do wholeheartedly unto Potiphar. But why was he doing it unto Potiphar? Because ultimately Joseph knew that whatever he did unto the Lord. Do we not read in Colossians chapter 3 in the verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to man"? That came down to Joseph in his menial tasks that he had to do, whatever those were. It wasn't, as far as he was concerned, just something, a job to do. He saw it as a job for the master. He saw it as something to the Lord. Is that not how we're to carry out our own work? And I'm not talking about in the church life. I'm talking in the secular life. In jobs and businesses and schools and our studies. Whatever we do, we're to do it as unto the Lord, not unto man. We're to work hard because through that there's a witness and there's a testimony to the Lord. You say, "But you don't know who I work for." Potiphar would not have been the most easiest of people to work for either. And yet he did, Joseph did what he did, not unto Potiphar, but unto the Lord. And when a Christian goes about complaining and grumbling and backbiting and saying all sorts of things about all sorts of people, that is no witness to the ungodly. When we're constantly negative and we're constantly down and we're gossiping about people, that is no witness to the ungodly. Here was a young man who did what he was called to do in the secular field. He did it unto the Lord. Joseph allowed his light to shine for the Lord. He allowed his life to show for the Lord. His profession of faith was clear. Not in what he said, but in what he did. Alexander McLaren wrote several books on many of the great Bible characters. And he said this. He said, the best advertisement of Christianity is a godly life. People read us a great deal more than they read the Bible. You know that. The ungodly outside may never read a Bible. But I tell you what they will do. They'll read our lives. And they will see, do our lips and our lives match up to our profession? Hymn writer said, do we live so close to the Lord today, passing to and fro on life's busy way, that the world in us can a likeness see to the man of Calvary? As an open book, their lives will read, to our words and acts giving daily heed. Will they be attracted or turn away from the man of Calvary? Can the world see Jesus in me? Can the world see Jesus in you? Does your love to him ring true? And your life and service too? Can the world see Jesus in you? The world definitely saw a Christ-like spirit in the life of Joseph. His master saw that the Lord was with him. He saw something different. Joseph. Does the world see something different in your life and mine? Do they see there's something they have they do not have, we have they don't have? What a testimony for a man of God in a foreign country. His lips and his life preach the same message. Because I'll be honest with you folks, if your lips and your life, you say you're a Christian, and yet you live as if God doesn't exist, the ungodly won't want to know anything. Our life and our lips must preach the same message. There's the presence he enjoyed, the proof he exhibited. Finally, as we close, notice then the promotion he experienced. Verse 5, there's a very interesting line. Came to pass from this time that he, that is Potiphar, made him, that is Joseph, overseer in his house and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. That's interesting. By this godly man, Joseph, the house of Potiphar was blessed through the life and witness of Joseph. And because of that, he was then promoted. We always try to make that comparison between Joseph and the Saviour, because he is a wonderful type of Christ. And there, just in verse 5, we see a wonderful picture of Christ, how that because of the obedience and the godliness of Joseph, the house of this ungodly man was blessed. Does that not point us to Christ? That we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We who are sinners and ungodly, wretched before the Lord, we are blessed not because of who we are, but through Jesus Christ, because of who he is and all that he has done for us. He who led captivity captive and gave gifts for men. The guilty sinner is blessed and brought into a saving relationship with Christ and given all the spiritual blessings. Why? Because of Christ, our greater Joseph. But Joseph, because of his godly character, was blessed. And God honored him. You see in verse number 2, Joseph was prospered. His work was prospered. In verse 3, Joseph's master prospered. In verse 5, here was a man who was brought low and now is lifted high. All in the sovereign purpose and plan of God. Never think that the lows of life are forever. Because God in His sovereign will and plan and purpose will stand with those who stand with Him. You see that He was made an overseer in His house, in verse 5. He was blessed with power. We see as well in verse 6 that He was blessed with favour amongst the people. Joseph was a goodly person and well favoured. You see, all of this could have went to Joseph's head, you know. Here was a nobody and a nothing from Canaan. And all of a sudden he's elevated to this high position. It could have went to his head. But Joseph still maintained his humility before God. And as we will see in later studies, Joseph was to be tested for his purity. But before he was tested with his purity, he passed the test of prosperity. Joseph's life radiated the humility and the honour of his Saviour. Joseph might have been stripped of his coat, but he wasn't stripped of his character. He may have been in a strange place, in a strange land, but he still honoured the Lord there. And Egypt, as you know, in Scripture is always a symbol, always a reference to sin and to the world. The thing is, Joseph in his home in Canaan was the same man as he was in Potiphar's house in Egypt. Same man. Served the same God. Lived by the same standards. Sought to show and radiate the life of Christ. Secret of his success. He lived a life for the Lord, and the Lord was with him. What a testimony. What a testimony. Do we strive for that each day? Every day we live, do we strive that we might know the Lord with us? In seeking to do that, may we strive to live for the Lord every day. May we strive to live that holy, godly life for the Lord, no matter what the circumstances. May we strive that our lives might show forth for the Saviour. And how we live, what we do, how we conduct ourselves, that others would see something of Christ in us. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. What a testimony. May that be ours for each one who knows and names the name of Christ.